ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 17. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It's very possible I need you, Silas and Timothy, because this is not good for me to be here. I can sense my own self becoming a little less galvanized. You know, when you have a buddy by you who's standing there by the stuff and loving on Jesus too, and your knees are buckling, it's like, well, I need to take a breath and move on, you know, and stop thinking about myself. So maybe Paul had that, and that's why he gives a commandment. You guys come to me with all speed. But he could not sit there and see what he was seeing, even in spite of the fact that he was stirred or sharpened and grieved. He was appalled by what he was seeing. And so he went and he disputed alone in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily, verse 17, with them that met with him. Now, daily they would be able to come in from the hot of the sun, and many times he would be able to pull together people from what we understand, and they would be in the shade, and he would be able to strike up a conversation, and others would draw near. Do you realize that we don't have such a forum as they did? Linda got to go to China here a number of years ago, and one of the things they were told about was they were supposed to go to English circles or something like that where they would teach English. So she was hoping to go there and find some place in, you know, like a cafe or something where people wanted to learn English and maybe she could strike up that conversation. That was the idea, but it never actually worked that way. Was much more fluid than that. Evidently, the Lord wanted something to get done, so gave her opportunities that were phenomenal. But my point is that God would have us witnessing. You see what I'm getting at? This is the acts of the Holy Spirit. And what does He do? He stirs us. People who are confused, the people just wanted to hear more. And for 2, maybe 3 weeks, Paul preaches in Thessalonica, undoes their confusion. No more of confusion, now totally confident, echoing out the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1 says they echoed out, they sounded forth the gospel from their little port city. We find the Bereans, they're getting coerced because life is kind of good for them. They secret people away and give up whatever good things they could have had for a little while longer, but immediately they sent them away. You see, my point is that when we come to Athens, we're not looking at coercion and we're not looking at confusion. What we're looking at here is we're looking at confounded. I told you this a moment ago, I believe. Athens means uncertainty. You see, when you take everything and you keep your options open, you have a hard time distinguishing right and wrong. When you can't say something is right without this, at the same time saying something's wrong, you have a dilemma. You have a crisis. And these people lived in a city that was filled with idols, fully given to idolatry, verse 16. And says, therefore, Paul had to begin to undo that. And in verse 18, it tells us who the primary leaders were of this situation. The Bible says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? And others some, he seemeth to be setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. So the Epicureans. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Epicurean is really related to pleasure. A pleasure-centered relationship with the world. You're looking at the world as if to get everything to make yourself more comfortable, more happy, and it's all about the sensual. And it doesn't have to be bad, bad stuff. It's just being able to do what you want to do. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory of what Epicurus taught. He taught that the aim of philosophy should be happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. Think about that. Happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. You may have heard of Oscar Wilde. Yeah, most people have heard of him. They don't know much about him. This guy was a debauched person, a writer, I believe it was, and he was a debauched person. And he would chase all kinds of evil and sensual sin. When he came down to the end of his life, he was a miserable wretch, and he knew it. And he would live according to this. Happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. In physics, Epicurus would study physics. And he did it to explain phenomena and dispel superstitious fears. In other words, he was a man of science for one purpose, to argue against the phenomenon of, you know, something extraordinary or metaphysical, just to explain it away. Sounds like our modern-day scientists. Well, I'm a science person. I believe we came from a monkey. Now, you just lost me right there because you... they're still here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, primates. I get it. I know what you did. You just danced over to another corner. They're still here. Primates are still here. Monkeys are still here. Gorillas are still here. And we're still here. There's no missing link. If there was, there would be. If there was, there would be. There would still be here. There's no missing link found. There's no missing link present. And there's no missing link ever. There just never was. Now, they study this stuff, and they get on the party line. If you want to watch a good film, it's called Expelled. And it's a very phenomenal thing about how people in higher learning educational systems were put out because they began to accept the reality of a creator and of God himself. He also studied ethics. Epicurus studied ethics. He studied ethics, and in ethics he regarded as man's proper study. Ethics were regarded as man's proper study since they conduce to supreme and lasting pleasure. In other words, if you let things go totally crazy, you're going to have anarchy. So he says, no, we need to study ethics because we need to figure out how to manage things so we can have as much pleasure as we can. Do you know what's happening in America? America was made with an incredible, amazing foundation. Everything we did had prospered. It was amazing what happened in this country. Because we founded this country upon a biblical precedent. And we said, we're going to honor the God of heaven. We are one nation under God. And as a result of being one nation under God, God smiled upon us. And we even asked him in our songs, God, shed your grace on us. That's what we always wanted. We longed for. And even in our battle songs, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's hope. We've seen the battlements and the campfires. Why? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Your truth is marching on. We saw ourselves as being one nation under God. And we knew that if we did not honor him, he would not bless us. We believed that. And God blessed us. And now where we are is we're at a point where people have come in and they've commandeered the controls and they've begun to say, let's create an Epicurean nation. Now they could not have started one. Every nation comes to one big bad guy on the top called a monarch and he becomes the biggest guy in the room, and he becomes the dictator, and everything's about his pleasure, and not everybody else gets pleasure. No, America made it such that individuals could prosper and flourish, and now it's being commandeered. And my point is this, is that Epicureanism is a lot like what's going on in our country. Then the other side in verse 18 were the Stoics. Stoics saw man as basically spiritual, things serious, and they were more about trying to figure out how to be as removed from evil and sin as they could be. And they were more serious. So you had the Epicurean philosophers and the Stoics, and they encountered Paul in verse 18, and they began to question him. And in verse 19 it says, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. Now the Areopagus is interesting. The word for Areopagus, it's derived from the word Ares. You remember Ares? Ares is the god of war. This is the Areopagus, and it means the Rock of Ares or the Martial Peak. So this is a place where they would come, and they wanted to bring him to this Areopagus where they would evidently listen to things being presented. And they brought him there saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. So they wanted to know what he had to say. Now, the word for know here is a misnomer for them, because they really don't want to know. The word here means to know. They want to experience it. They want to understand it. It's not just see it, it's not eidon, it's gnosko. You ever wonder why the word know in English is K-N-O-W? K-N-O-W, where'd that come from? How do you say that, you know, if you weren't learning English as a second language? It comes from the Greek, gnosko. It means to know it fully and understand it completely. They didn't want to know. Now, some people will ask you because they want to argue. Some people will ask you because, you know, they just are interested, they're scratching their head, they're always looking, and they're like these guys. In verse 21, it says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, you might put a star by that verse because that's America today. Every new movie is flooded when it comes out. You know, they're talking millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in movies. What is that? It's a new story. We have a proliferation of superheroes. I want to just tell you, there's only one superhero. It's Jesus. And because the devil has flooded the market with your Hulks and your Iron Mans and your Supermans and all of these Wonder Women and all these things, you kind of lose sight of the reality there was really only one. Jesus. Jesus is the hero of this whole story. History is his story. And he is the one who came on the rescue mission that saved planet Earth from the evil of the devil. And the Bible tells us that these people wanted to hear new things. They want to hear it a new way. And their heroes in the movie theaters are back in the next movie. Because they can be. And it creates a confounding. And that's where I'm coming from here. These people, they were confounded. They were littered with uncertainty. This is America today. We've got confusion, we've got coercion, and we've got confounding. We've got a trifecta of trouble in our world. It is the worldly dilemmas you and I face. And what are we to do? Well, the only thing we can do is trust God and have Him taking us where we can and letting His Spirit lead us. Because when His Spirit leads us, people will find Jesus. It may be a few and not a multitude, like on the day of Pentecost and a few weeks later when 3,000 and multitude's going to be at the end of the book when James says, look what great multitudes got saved. But what we're seeing in our day is we're seeing a trifecta of difficulty. So we see that Paul then stood after being asked to speak. Well, he didn't have to ask Paul twice. This might have even been a real blessing to him. You can imagine the great scholar Paul, trained at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a rabbi, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, being really excited about standing and preaching. Well, the Bible says that he stood in the midst of Mars Hill, verse 22, and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul went everywhere taking notes. You hear me? Are you taking notes about your world? Are you looking at people's lives? Somebody's got a problem in their backstory. They're looking at a divorce. They're looking at somebody's in the hospital or their parents just died. Do you know people, if we take notes, we might be able to find something where we can begin to move in. I had a guy I worked with once. His wife was really in bad shape, and he had been with her for years, where she was really, really debilitated. And sometimes he'd get a call, and he'd have to go home. She was in such a bad state. And he stood with her, and he stayed with her, and he loved on her. And I was able to give him credit for that. Now, that meant something from somebody who he knew to be a Christian. I said, man, you're doing great. I really respect that. I really think that's awesome. You know, sometimes people just want a little credit. They know they're dying on the field trying to do everything they can to help somebody or plead to give somebody what they need. He needed to hear that. Sometimes people think that Christ is judgmental and he's condescending. The Bible says Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that true? And we need to be those people who realize that these people who are groping around doing something right, they need to be encouraged to continue to do right, because right can lead to light. The Bible says, him I declare unto you, verse 24, he says, God that made the world. Now that's the way he starts. He starts with God is the creator. And he says, he made the world and all things that are therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands. He says, this unknown God you worship, he's the creator God. You don't even know who he is, but he's the creator God. He says, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, verse 25. So it's not of works. You can't be saved by works. He's saying, no matter what you try to do, Stoic or Epicurean, you cannot be saved by works. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.